So welcome to our webinar. I'm Katherine.
And I'm Daniel.
We are going to talk about why and how to build up your personal branding with Peep Laja. But before we go into the topic, the webinar is hosted by Talent Hub. And Talent Hub is a recruitment agency that builds winning teams for high-growth startups by finding talented people to your teams. We create a lot of content related with growing your business and company. So if you're interested, go and like our LinkedIn page.
Yes, but not just that. We are also helping startups to build their employer brand, because for us, employer branding is also like the personal branding of startups. So that's why this topic makes a lot of sense for us today.
But let's get into our today's guest, which is Peep, who is multi-time founder and Estonia's most famous digital marketer. Having built a LinkedIn community of 57,000 people, I mean, that's already amazing. And he knows something or two about establishing an online presence. Peep has advised several startups and companies, guiding them into mastering the art of storytelling, positioning, and messaging.
Yes. So before jumping into the questions that we have prepared for Peep, I will maybe just give you a very brief explanation of what do we aim to have today in our webinar. So we want to talk about why is it important to build a personal brand. We also want to talk about why should founders focus on this, and most importantly, how to begin our personal branding journeys. So I think, are we ready to start?
Yeah, let's start. Super excited to have you here, Peep.
Pleasure is all mine.
So let's start with why is it important to build a personal brand for yourself? Why you are doing it?
To be famous, not just to, you know, to get a lot of likes and the ego tickle, but as a, so I'm a bootstrap startup founder, and so that means it cannot outspend the market to gain a market share, visibility, all those things. So I need to use something else. And personal brand just gives me reach and visibility, which also gives reach and visibility to my business. My organic content drives more than half the pipeline for my business. So there's clear business impact. And, you know, also if you think about big businesses, you know, think about like Apple or Tesla, right? Like if there's a visible CEO, visible founder, when Jobs was alive, was a legend, right? Same with Bill Gates when he was still around at Microsoft. So we can see how a visible human tied to a business just makes it more real, gives it an extra oomph, right? It's like nobody talks about the CEO of Chevrolet or Mazda. Like nobody has any clue who those people are. So they're, you know, and hence Mazda gets less word of mouth. Whereas like everybody's talking about Elon, whether it's positive or negative, that's another thing, but you know, like he's in the picture. So that's the same idea. Like if you have a personal brand, you're in the picture, you're in the conversation.
Yeah, but you can also do like branding without the personal branding. Yeah, like you can be a master as well, but having a founder and building the brand for yourself, what is the advantage in a bigger scale, what it gives to you? Because it requires a lot of work.
It's not a this versus that. It's not like you have to choose. Do I build my company brand or personal brand? I mean, that's a false choice, right? Like you can do both. It is just much, much easier to build a brand as a human being much faster. Because what is a brand? A brand is reputation. A brand is an empty vessel. So let's say like Nike, when they were founded in the 70s with their swoosh, like in the beginning it had no meaning, no associations with what is Nike. And over time, over decades, it's been filled with meaning, what it stands for. It's the same idea. And I think for humans like to follow humans more than anonymous companies. And so it's easier and faster to fill the vessel of your personal brand than it is, for a company.
Okay, but what are key components of a strong personal brand as a founder?
Well, you need to stand for something, right? Like what? Because like brand is not what you say you are; it's what they say you are. And so, the best brands can be put in a box. Like it's easy to classify. What are they about? You know, like if you talk about Patagonia, it's like, oh, sustainability, save the nature, fuck Trump, that kind of things, right? And so for your personal brand, it's also like you gotta be associated with an idea. So the question for yourself is like, what do you want to be known for? What do you want to be famous for? And it cannot be many things. So the narrower it is, the better. Once you're well known, like everybody knows who you are, you can expand out and be more things. So like case in point, let's take Tim Ferriss. He wrote that 4-hour work week, and was famous for that, you know, life hacking, business hacking. Now he's much more than that, right? Because he's written all these different books and then, you know, podcasting for years. So you can become more things to people. But in the beginning, people want to put you in a box. So a strong then component is that you're consistently speaking about a single topic.
A single topic. So you suggest to start with one topic and then like start building up your brand.
Well, I mean, what is your goal of a brand? If you just want to be famous and you take selfies and hey, here I am eating breakfast and here I am on the beach, I mean, you just want to be beautiful or whatever. Like, I mean, maybe that's fine as well. Like, if you want to be just an Instagram celebrity or something, if you want to be a known founder, so you have a business outcome in mind, like you want to help out your business with your personal brand. I mean, that's different. So then you want to be associated with the industry or niche of your company.
But what are the common mistakes what founders are doing when they're building up their personal brand?
Well, the biggest mistake is not doing it at all proactively. You're just hoping that it will miraculously happen. So not being proactive and active about it. So that, you know, that's the biggest thing. The easiest thing to counteract that is that you put yourself out there every single day. You know, you're every single day you're active on social. You go on all the podcasts that that will have you. You speak at all the events that will have you. Just putting yourself out there, number one thing. Second thing I see is people are not sure what to focus on. You know, I mentioned you want to be associated with one thing. So if you're super broad, you know, here I am eating breakfast, and here are my thoughts about, you know, the homeless people, and now like giving tax advice and my lessons learned growing children. It's like, what the fuck are you about? Right? Like, so you want to be, if you want to be a marketing person, just talk about marketing. Don't talk about weightlifting. Don't talk about, you know, your views and whatever other things, because should be easy to understand. Oh, I turn to this guy. I follow this guy to get content about X.
But it seems like you mentioned that you have to do it every day. It's a time consuming. All the founders, they have the busy people, they have tons of things to do. So how to find the time, or how to create the strategy and system behind that?
In my experience, people who are content creators are already creating content. And it's hard, and some people just cannot put a sentence together. Like if they need to write something, it's like takes 4 hours to write two sentences. And so maybe writing is not the thing. So first step is like you need to figure out what is easy for you. Is it to write? Is it to do audio, video content? And maybe you're just not capable. And then it's a distraction and a waste of time if you just don't have it in you. So you got to have a content creator in you. Otherwise, it's just pain. So that's one thing. Time-wise, I mean, for me, to write a daily LinkedIn post or, you know, a tweet, I mean, how long do you think it takes? I mean, 10 minutes. Like, who doesn't have 10 minutes per day? Like, so the hardest part about writing is the idea of, like, what do I want to write about? But you can brainstorm a lot in advance. the easiest thing to start with is, okay, looking back at my career, let's say it's about marketing or HR or recruitment, what are the 20 lessons learned? What am I, like, if I had to pass down wisdom to my younger self 5 years ago, what would I say? Boom, now you have like 20 days of worth of content. Then it's like, what are the 20 mistakes I've made when it comes to, let's say, recruitment or whatever. Same, another 20 days. No, it's not hard at all.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you already started talking basically about how to build routines and habits, right? So like, this is basically about getting the habit of saying, every day I will take 10 minutes, I will consider what happened in my career, maybe what are things that I need to highlight, and then based on that, start building up my own reputation. But as Catherine mentioned, maybe when you think about back then, when you were starting just your journey for personal branding and also for your own startup, what were maybe the tools or what were maybe like the tactics that you were using to actually ensure that this became a habit? Because building habits is something quite difficult sometimes. So do you have any advice maybe for people that is just starting in how to do it or what kind of tools can they use?
For me, I started doing this back in the era when blogs were still, you know, much bigger thing than social. So I was writing blog posts, usually 2 a week or so. And it took me like 16 hours per blog post. The mantra for me back then was, I need to blog like my life depended on it, or life of my business. So like, if I did not blog, I did not build business. So it's a mindset, it's a mentality. So first you need to understand the why. Why are you doing this? Now, if you have infinite amount of money, like, sure, you can just buy ads and buy reach, but who has that? Like, I mean, that's a luxury for the select few. So if you don't have money to buy reach, you need to create what's called owned media. And that's through, you get that through content. People need to follow you for something. And so that means that just posting is not enough, because, you know, everybody can post crap every single day. So just doing something every single day is not good enough. So start with why, like justify first, why are you doing this? And for me, it was like, I cannot buy reach, so I need to create reach. So that's the why. And I was blogging twice a week, and then around maybe 2018, 2019, I switched gears and went all in with building my audience on social, Twitter and LinkedIn mainly. And then there's no single right way to do this. For me, it was like, what is the rhythm that works for me? And for me, the habit, the rhythm that works for me is that I've booked it on my calendar. The first thing in the morning, I post. And this has to do with my time zone, because like, when you post, the timing matters. So in my case, like, posting around 7 a.m. ensures the biggest reach for my content. So I want to post usually before 7 a.m. U.S. Central Time. And I'm always consistently thinking about future content to post. And I am, you know, my method is, I'm not super organized about it. I am DMing myself on Slack. I have an idea while I'm driving. Ooh, okay. Red light, car stops. I'm DMing myself, you know, trying to not crash my car. So that's the system that works for me. It's super easy, super basic. I'm not like spreadsheets with like massive amounts of content ideas. That's not me. And I'm also always feeding my brain. So that is, I'm consistently consuming content myself. So whether it's on social, audiobooks, podcasts, things like that, because the way my brain works is I get ideas through synthesis. I hear somebody talk about an idea, and then it's like, oh, it like resonates on some level. I have an experience with that as well. And then, you know, it brings back associations with something would happen and generates a new idea. So I put life experience plus an external idea together, and it like mishmashes into an insight. And then I want to share that insight. And not every insight is, you know, fantastic. So you also should not have a too high bar for posting. Like not everything is going to be a hit, right? So also give yourself, be flexible with the standard, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that actually link it to my next question, because when I think it about founders, usually like they want to see results quite fast, right? And you mentioned that building a personal brand is a matter of timing and consistency. So how do you measure success? Like if you don't base yourself into the number of likes that maybe one post got, because maybe one got viral and the next one was not really making a difference in your social media, how do you measure success, or how often do you can reach certain milestones to know that you are going in the right direction?
Totally. No, so first of all, likes and comments are nice, you know, it's a nice juju when, you know, people like your content. But bear in mind, like if you look at LinkedIn, there are like these bullshit people with hundreds of thousands of followers and get like thousands of likes and comments to each of their posts. And what are they talking about? Oh, I was walking down the street and I saw this homeless person and, you know, I had this sign and then this is a life lesson about the homeless, you know, like, so, you know, like total bullshit. There's no content. There's no value. There's no true business insight. You're pandering to the masses and it will not generate into anything. So if you just wanted, you know, likes, you know, like as the saying is, that just eventually your content will become pornography because that's what the masses want. That will not generate business. So it is, you don't want to attract everybody. You want to, you're writing to a specific persona or like a profile, like who is the person who will eventually, in the case of business personal branding, who will be interested in this content and will then eventually will turn into dollars that I can measure. So that's one thing. Two is like, how do I measure? It's not like I post content and then, oh, you know, I have UTM links to my something and then I see, oh, money coming out the other end. Social media, or also, you know, if you post your thoughts through an email newsletter, that's not a direct response channel. What you're doing there, you're building up mental availability. And what that means is that mental availability is being thought of by category buyers in buying situations. So whatever business you're in, when they need, in your case, for instance, like recruitment help, they think of you because they've been seeing you post about this. Oh, this person knows what they're talking about, and that's what you want. And so, how do you measure that it's working? Is two ways: how many podcast invites do you get? How many conference invites do you get? How many people turn to you for consulting? So that's like one. Like your people perceive you as an expert, and they want to hear more about it. They think you have interesting things to say. On a business level, you want to do self-reported attribution. So when they're signing up for a thing, have a form. How'd you hear about us? And it should be open-ended, no pre-filled options. They type in how they hear about you. So, you know, as I said, in the case of winter, like 50% of people say PayPlaya. You know, that's how they heard about our business. And that's, you know, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Twitter.
Okay. And talking about channels, because you just mentioned LinkedIn and Twitter as two different options, right? Like nowadays, I think we have literally many different channels that you can build a personal brand. And it's very different how you maybe communicate yourself in Instagram or how you do it in LinkedIn and how you do it probably in any other kind of networking events. So when like someone is just starting, what's the best way of selecting the right channel? Because I think also focusing on five at the same time might not be the best idea. So how can I get to understand which channel fits my business or fits my personality the best in order to start building up?
Yeah, I think there are two factors here. So one is, where is my target audience hanging out? And who are these people? So that's one. So if I'm selling to, VP demand generation and B2B SaaS companies with 1,000+ employees, I'm more likely to find these people on LinkedIn rather than TikTok. If I'm selling beauty products, probably Instagram is better than LinkedIn, right? So that's one of the factors. Second is, what kind of content is easy for me to create? Because if something is hard to create, you will give up eventually, or it's a massive, you need a lot of discipline and willpower, which is very hard. So if you're a writer, text, I mean, Twitter and LinkedIn, I'm a writer first. I mean, I don't mind being on camera at all, but I'm a writer first. If you're purely visual, well, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, you know, Instagram, you know, so that's another consideration.
Mm-hmm. It most probably depends on the persona as well. Like, who are your target audience and where they also, what channels they use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and obviously you could be on all of those channels, because you just, that you know, it will just be a little bit more time consuming. And also for some mediums, let's say Twitter and LinkedIn, you can post the same exact content. Whereas like how you format your video on TikTok, for instance, I mean, it's a different level of editing that is needed in terms of also how long it is, you know, like, so it becomes more involved. And of course, there's a ton of agencies out there who specialize in repurposing your content for all of these different mediums, that, you know, to slice and edit your videos to differently for YouTube Shorts or TikTok. So you could go down that route.
Okay, yeah, that's very cool. And I remember once I was in a conference and I was also attending a personal branding workshop, and someone said that basically you shouldn't be afraid to be the most visible person in the room, right? So you should maybe always try to wear this jacket that it's very colorful, or that it's like basically catching the attention of people. So when it comes to personal branding, what do you think is the best way to go? Basically, like being honest to your roots and your own personality and then trying to build on that, or build maybe the character you want to be or the character you want to be perceived as, and then try to build up your brand upon who you want to be or who you are at the moment?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think both ways can work. So it's rather, what do you feel comfortable doing, and where can you have consistency? Because everything takes consistency. You know, yeah, the wearing a yellow suit, like peacocking that you referred to, I mean, can be very effective if your brand is maybe fashion, or, you know, like what are the things you want to associate with your brand? And if I want to be perceived as an expert at something, I mean, wearing funny outfits is probably not gonna, you know, is not needed. It's a distraction. Now, when it comes to also creating content online, being controversial and having spicy takes absolutely works. So one thing I've learned about posting content is that nobody wants weak opinions. People want strong opinions. You need to emphasize to make a point. So like a weak way to say something is, sometimes when people are unmotivated or they don't like their work or the other conditions, you know, they suck at their performance. And so a lot of employees are like mediocre because of these before mentioned reasons. That's a weak ass. Nobody wants to hear that. If you say a short sentence, say, most people are mediocre. Boom. Oh, wow. They're going to argue with you. And of course, everybody who argues with you online, this is the internet, they will argue with you. They're giving you reach. The more people disagree with you and comment on your shit, the more famous you will become. So you want to have strong opinions. Strong opinions. And of course, you don't want to be, you know, like a asshole. I guess many assholes are actually famous, so maybe you want to be an asshole. So you got to think about those things. But I'm phrasing, whenever I'm posting content, I want to phrase it in a way that's it's a strong opinion. And of course, there are nuance cases, edge cases, where what I say does not apply. But this is the internet. It's not Wikipedia, where I have to say, well, it depends, you know, like, of course it depends, but nobody wants to hear that. That's boring content. The content that works is, you know, strong opinion. It's a narrow point of view.
Mm-hmm. I know that you wanted to, like, your goal when you started was to be the best in the world in one specific field, and you were mm-hmm. really aggressive of, mm-hmm. yeah, writing the blog post, everything, but also getting into be present in conferences, mm-hmm. like everywhere, podcasts. So you were reaching out to people. Now everyone is asking you, but before it was the other way. So how did you do that? Maybe you can share some of the tips, what to do offline of this social media.
Absolutely. So this is a playbook that I have done, implemented 3 times now. So first of all, decide, what do you want to be famous for? So in 2011, I decided that I want to be famous for conversion optimization, experimentation. That's the field. And I decided that I want to be, you know, not just famous, I want to be one of the best known people in the field. And I had 0 followers. Nobody knew who I was, all this stuff. So first of all, put yourself out there, something that I mentioned. You start creating content, right? You need to have interesting things to say, interesting ideas. You need to be, people need to perceive you as an expert. And it won't happen until you show it with content. So also I put a lot of care into like that, make sure the content is the best in the world content that's ever been written about a topic. To the best of my abilities. So because if I look back now to some of my content, I'm like cringing a little bit. So that's one. Second is then, what are the media outlets? And I mean media very loosely, like blogs, the webinars, podcasts, events that are talking about this topic, my topic. And then I would proactively reach out to podcasters and pitch myself as a guest. And it's not like, hi, I would like to be a guest. It's like, hey, your audience is into this topic. I can talk about this. That's, you know, like 3 specific things that their audience might find interesting. Same idea with conferences. I would proactively pitch myself as a speaker at events. I'm a conference organizer myself. The biggest mistake is that you start pitching conference organizers 2 months before the event. I mean, they have their lineup full a year before the event. So the time to pitch yourself to speak in a conference is a year before it happens, right? So timing is very important. You also want to see who spoke at that event at the previous event. And then you want to befriend all these people, and you want ask one of them to put in a good word with you for you to the organizer. It's like, and you ask them, hey, I would love to speak at that event. You spoke at that event. Can you connect it to the event organizer and just say that I'm a good guy? So networking, that's another thing. Like, you need to identify who are all the shakers and movers in the industry, who are, let's say, competitors that are also trying to be famous, because I mean, you want to be in with the in guys, right? Who are all the influencers in the space? And you want to proactively reach out, make contact. And you can't shoot for somebody who's way more famous than you are. Like, if I want to be friends with Tim Ferriss, who's here in Austin, he's miles, he's a true celebrity, and I am not. So he's kind of like out of my league. If I would email him like, hey, Tim, want to meet up for coffee? That would not happen. So you want to pick a group that is more or less your size, maybe 20% more famous or whatever, because people want to hang out with people like them or better. Top players don't want to hang out with noobs. It's just a fact of life. And the best networking is doing awesome shit. If you're a famous founder and everybody knows who you are, you go to a party, everybody wants to talk to you. That's just a fact of life. So that's another thing about networking, is it's not just you talking to people. It's your reputation needs to precede you. So that's you doing awesome shit, being on social media, active on social media. So I literally made a list of people that I need to meet. And of course, if you go and attend conferences, whether a speaker or an attendee, you can network and meet all those speakers. Everybody's a human being. Everybody's shy. Half the people are introverts. They want to be talked to. They're feeling awkward too. They don't want to approach people. If somebody approaches them, they're like, oh, fine, somebody's talking to me. And I also analyzed, what are the top people in the industry doing? Like, if I want to be more famous than these guys, like, what are these? Oh, this guy has a conference, I'll throw a conference. This guy has a podcast, I'll do a podcast. This guy wrote a book, I'll do a book. This guy creates original frameworks, I'll create original frameworks. And then I did all those things. And so 5 years after I decided to become famous in conversion optimization, I was named as the most famous guy in the whole space, and the community leader, because I was bringing everybody together to my conferences, 2 conferences a year in the space. Yeah, so that's one example. And then later I did it again, now in the winter space, using the exact same playbook, but a different target audience, like product marketing people.
Mm. I mean, with the content and with writing especially, it's we all follow people in LinkedIn and we see what everyone's writing and it's super exciting. And sometimes when you start writing, it's like, I mean, it's not original anymore. You feel that it's not original. So how to overcome those situations and you have this writer's block or you don't feel that it's strong enough or original enough?
Yeah. I mean, that's a legit and valid and very common hesitation. So you just got to get over it. So yeah, there's nothing new under the sun, said a guy 2,000 years ago, right? So that's just a fact of life. So, you know, the water is wet, sun is hot. People have said it before. You know, it's not important. Add as much personal experience and personal point of view on top of it as possible. So it's a, you know, it can be a truism, like obvious truth. And then you just add a story. Well, this happened to me last week. I was talking to somebody and blah, 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 blah. You know, already you've tailored, you personalize the content. The content that works the best on social is always a personal story. You know, you pick up any storytelling book, they'll give you like 100, you know, facts about how our brains are hardwired to listen to stories. They're engaging, blah, blah, blah. We sat around the fire, you know, 10,000 years ago already listening to stories. It still works. If you want to be a good storyteller, the only book worth reading is called Story Worthy. Everybody else, every other storytelling book is garbage. That's just an aside. So yeah, mix your truths in with your personal experiences and you have original content.
Nice. And maybe coming back to what you were saying about like putting yourself in the picture, right? And going to do networking and everything. If you could give two or three advices of what a perfect like elevator pitch in a sense of your person should have, what are maybe the three things you should definitely mention when you're trying to go into these introductions or into those networking events? What are things that you must say about yourself?
Mm-hmm. You don't say anything about yourself. Nobody wants to hear a pitch, certainly no elevator pitch. You're just a cool, normal person. And what people like to hear the most? Questions about them. You're interested in them and them only. And then after they've asked, you know, answered 10 questions you've asked about them, they'll show interest in you. Oh, well, by the way, who are you and what do you do? And, you know, so you don't need a pitch. I mean, you need a concise way to say what you do. I mean, that's not hard. But the networking is about being a normal human being. It helps if you like to drink a little bit. I used to be a smoker, the smoking corner, the best networking at any event. You know, like you're just a human with flaws, right? So another thing is like, as I said, most people are also feeling awkward talking to strangers. So if you do this heavy lifting and you initiate conversation, you invite them to things, it's already so much easier. So another thing that I've been doing consistently since being a complete nobody, I would attend a conference. And then before the conference begins, I invite a dinner, a pre-conference dinner. I book a table for, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 at a restaurant. And then I invite the speakers or anybody else who I know that is attending for this dinner. Private dinner. Every single person wants to be invited to a private dinner with cool people. The acceptance rate is like 99%. If they know that it's not going to be any pitching, a product presentation, nobody wants that. It's just a conversation with wine and food, right? You know, and now if you're inviting, suddenly you're in a position of power. You're the host. Everybody wants to be in your good, you know, like everybody wants to be liked by you. You gain power by being a nobody, by throwing events. And then read the book, you know, Never Eat Alone. It's a blueprint for how to throw dinner parties. I make a point to meet 2 strangers every single week in person. You know, I live in Austin. It's a pretty big city. So it's not too hard to invite somebody for lunch. But, you know, everybody's got to eat. So even if you network in your own town, you can meet a lot of people, like two new people per week. What do we have? 50-something weeks per year. I mean, you can meet a lot of people. And then the more people that know you, like you, and know what you do, the more word of mouth you get, the more famous you are, the more business you get.
Is it possible to actually hire someone to do your personal branding?
I don't think so, man. I mean, only in the case that you're already famous.
If I hire you.
No, you can't hire me. I mean, if you're like Tony Robbins and you've written, you know, 17 books and you have like hours of recorded conference, you know, talks and whatever. Tony Robbins is not posting on social himself. Like he has a team that is just picking what he's already said and just posting it, right? That it can work then if you have a team amplifying your pre-existing content. If you're just starting out and you have no content, I mean, no, it's not really possible. Or if it were possible, the way it would work is that somebody, let's call it your social media manager or your personal brand manager, interviews you for hours and hours and hours, gets all your thoughts and, you know, whatever out of you. And this all, everything is filmed as well. And then repurposes that to tweets, LinkedIn posts, you know, video content. You know, theoretically, it's possible. But the content needs, the thoughts need to be original. You know, like you can't hire, like just please write some thought leadership shit for me. Thanks, man. Doesn't work.
But using ChatGPT?
Well, if you want to be branded as an idiot, for sure. Yeah, I mean, ChatGPT only produces mediocre crap. Like it's uninteresting content and will never achieve your goals.
Good. Great. That was exactly what I wanted to hear. Now getting into hiring as well. How much personal branding has helped you to hire people?
Oh my God. It's day and night. So I'm a small business. I cannot pay the most salary. So really, like if anybody good has a choice, they would, you know, go to Google or go work at some whatever other famous company. Like, so most candidates that I have are people that already know me, and you know, often I don't know them, but like they follow me on LinkedIn. Especially, I send an email, let's say with a job ad to my newsletter. I get hundreds of applicants in a single day because they're like, "Oh, I would love the chance to work with you." So the value proposition is not here's the job and it's a cool job. It's like you get to work with me. That's the value prop. I mean, yes, there's a job and you get paid and all that stuff and it's interesting shit. But that's the value. If people want to work, you know, you get to work with somebody that you admire. You know, it's a big sell. I get to be mentored by so and so. Like if you're in self-help personal development, then imagine that your boss is going to be Tony Robbins. Fuck yeah, I would go work for Tony Robbins. Like, yeah, you know, same idea. I would never be able to hire the caliber of talent I have without a personal brand. Because otherwise, a small 15-person company, like Winter is 15 people today, is just uninteresting. You know, like there's so many, it's kind of like a man and a dog type of company, right? So personal brand is huge.
Is it working only for, like, your personal branding is in marketing or like in specific field, but is it like for the hiring? Do you, I mean, if you want to hire a software engineer, is it actually working for a software engineer hiring as well, or like some other positions that are not directly in your target group?
Well, I mean, engineers don't follow my content for sure. I cannot hire engineers. They don't know who I am. So absolutely true. It only works for the topic that you're talking about. I mean, you can be a celebrity engineer. You have interesting ideas. Then engineers want to work with you. So yeah, it's not all areas of for all job functions. This, you know, yeah.
And do you have any kind of your personal failures or something that happened because of your personal branding that wasn't exactly what you expected?
I mean, if you put yourself out there, you're all also going to get, you know, haters and, you know, as the saying is, the nail that sticks out gets hit. And that's, I mean, that's okay. That's just life. That's a, you know, do you expect a trade-off? I have not experienced any big, you know, scandals or, you know, but there are certainly people who don't like me or who don't like my style because, you know, I'm very direct and can be brash. I mean, not a bully or mean in any way, but, you know, I'm like, also I'm scary. People are afraid of me. So the people who, let's say for employer branding reasons, like some people don't want to work for me because I'm scary, right? So I'm maybe losing out on some talent, but you gotta be a polarizing brand in a way. Like if you also repel certain people, you're doing a great job. You can't be universally liked. I mean, maybe Tom Hanks is like universally liked, but like it's rare.
Who are the people you follow and you want to like be around with? Like whose personal branding is impressing you?
Mm-hmm. Well, my number one virtual mentor is Jason Lemkin. You know, he talks about the topics that I'm interested in. He has experience that I can learn from. So I follow him religiously. I attend his conferences.
And where do you see, well, what is your ambition? Do you have your set goals, like your personal branding, that you want to have X amount of followers or you want to become something? What is your goal?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't have celebrity goals in the sense that, you know, like, it's all tied to my business outcomes. So if the business would not need my personal brand, I would not do it because I don't need it for personal validation. You know, you see these rich and famous people who wouldn't need anything. Like they got it all. And they're still on Twitter or LinkedIn, like begging for likes, you know, like I think there's something missing inside of you. If you need the external validation, like I need to be admired to feel good about myself. I don't have that problem. So if I was, you know, I reach my, you know, business financial outcomes, I'm like, I'm checking out. I'm like, fuck you guys. Sayonara.
Okay, that's great. I mean, I think we could be talking about this topic for hours. Also, I'm very passionate about it. But I think because of the time, we have to start wrapping up. But maybe for everyone that is looking at us at this moment, what could be maybe some resources that people could check it out? Like if they get some interest in this topic after hearing you today, maybe what could be a book or a podcast or something that they could follow in terms of a personal brand to actually keep nurturing themselves into the topic?
I have no idea. I've never read one, so no clue.
Okay.
Follow you.
Then they can follow you.
Well, I don't talk about personal branding, but like, yeah, if you want to see somebody who's consistently doing it, I mean, I'm posting consistently. You can check my hero, Jason Lemkin. He's consistently posting interesting stuff across mediums. So the main thing is just consistency and time. It's not like you do a heavy sprint of 2 weeks and then it's crickets. No. Year one, nothing will happen. That's the baseline expectation. You know, you should have a, you know, 5-10 year horizon in mind. So just do it consistently for years and years and years and good things will happen.
Awesome.
Awesome. So, yes, super thankful. So much good ideas, things to do. So now I think everyone is inspired to, at least I am, to start pushing out a lot of content. But I truly admire those people who can do it in a constantly basis, because it's the hardest, like building up the habit. So let's hope that all the listeners got also inspired, and now we can see great content in LinkedIn, if not more. So thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me.